do, 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 do. This is the theme song.
War porn
song. Hello and welcome, everyone, to a very special episode of the War Porn Podcast. I feel like I say that pretty much every time, but this one is special because there's no preamble. It's all preamble. It's oops, all preamble edition. Cause Gene's not here right now. I'm alone in my apartment, desperately, painfully alone, and Gene's not here. Also, it's a Tuesday. Usually we record on like a Friday or a Saturday. So like everything's just topsy-turvy, tippity-toppity. I hate this. I feel weird. I don't have someone to bounce off of. What happened is Gene's had a big week. He's an important fella, and he's saving the world, you know? He's just out there stopping climate change or something. Anyway, this week he had a lot on his plate. And we were going to record Kong versus Godzilla, or Godzilla versus Kong, whatever it's called. And is it V? Is it Godzilla V Kong? Or is it actually versus? Let me Google that. There is an S. All right. So it's not like Batman V Superman, which I recall that Gene was confused about because it sounds like a legal proceeding. Anyway, so this is going to be... this is going to be a solo episode, just me and some thoughts. Maybe I'll tell a story, and then we'll go back to our regular proceedings. We're thinking about doing a war movie next week, like a movie about war, not like an Infinity War or an Endgame War. That title doesn't have war in it, but more of like an actual, maybe Full Metal Jacket or Saving Private Ryan or one of those types. And we'll see what we think about that. I'll bet I'll have some thoughts. It's been a crazy week for me. I've been in and out of the VA hospital, which I don't know if you know anything about the VA. They're the worst. I went in and was like, "Hey, I'm having all this pain," and they were like, "Well, how about some Tylenol?" And I was like, "Well, I can buy that. I can buy that myself, and in fact have taken it." And they're like, "Well, we'll give you some more Tylenol." And then I asked for, you know, drugs. Because that's what you go to the doctor for. And they were like, "No, those are considered scheduled drugs. You know, those are a controlled substance. You'd need a doctor for that." And I was like, "Well, I thought I was talking to a doctor." So I have just a big old bottle of Tylenol here that is, I gotta tell you, not up to the task of potentially kidney stones. But who cares? Because we're on the podcast and we're having a great time. I have been thinking about transitions a lot lately. Not in movies, although I guess those too, or in life. If you were AMAB and wanted to, you know, not be anymore. More like life transitions, although I guess that would be a major life transition. I'm derailing myself. I'm thinking about COVID ending, potentially. I know that it's still, you know, not everyone's vaccinated. And we still have a long way to go before we get back to any sort of new normal. Actually, I don't want to say new normal because that's the name of a terrible online hate group that is mostly anti-vax rhetoric. Although they're called no new normal. So I guess I am for a new normal and not against, and I am against them. What was I going? It's hard when you don't have someone to go off against and you have crippling ADHD, because I just keep getting distracted by things in my room and I just want to go, you know, aimlessly touch them, just like pick them up and put... Right now I have a guitar pick that I am moving between my fingers in an attempt to keep myself from being woefully distracted. I also have a new video game I'd rather be playing than talking to all of you lovely folks. I don't even think I'll be enjoying the video game. It's just easier to sit in the dark playing a game from 2006 than it is to maintain social niceties. Masking, as it were. What was I talking about? Oh, transitions. So COVID looks like it's on its last legs. We've got we've got more than one viable vaccine. Biden just moved up the date that all adults will be eligible to receive the vaccine to like next week or something. So it looks like people who want it are going to be able to get it. And within, you know, by the summer, most of the adult population will be inoculated. And we'll be able to do stuff, you know. People are already doing stuff. Go to the movies. This weekend was the first weekend of stand-up comedy came back in New York City. I didn't partake. I had a melee ball tournament, which is a D&D sporting game. I won, by the way, much to the chagrin of everyone involved, because my tactic was to be annoying. But then, you know, why fix what isn't broken or something? I can hear my voice slightly echoing off the acoustic guitar to the side of me, and it is driving me bonkers. I usually only talk for a couple of minutes in here when I do my preamble, but now I've been talking for like 5 minutes, and it's like, shut up, guitar. I get it. I promised I would learn you. It's been a decade. Here we are. Anyway, transitions, COVID, things are winding down. It feels impossible. For the last year, I've been internalizing this message that like, oh God, everyone's dying and you need to stay home. And it's been a rough one. I mean, mostly because we had no leadership and absolutely no plan and no way to engage with this virus except on a state-by-state level, which obviously doesn't work in a place as big and diverse as America. So it was just constantly popping up and spreading everywhere and killing 500,000 Americans while the government sat on their hands. And now we have a competent leader in charge, and we're making plans and they're coming to fruition. So I guess that's the reason why, but I still have a hard time like wrapping my mind around the idea that by the summer or the fall that things could just be not this, not trapped in my apartment. More than four walls could be life. For a long time now, I've been almost exclusively living on the internet, which I wouldn't recommend. Because I'm a disabled veteran, I don't really have a particularly good reason to go anywhere. I don't have a job that requires me to show up. I don't have any commitments that didn't get canceled with COVID. So I've largely been in an almost entirely isolated situation for the last year. And I know a lot of people are the same, immunocompromised people or people who were able to work from home. There's a lot of folks out there that haven't really seen anyone outside of their little pod. And the idea of going out and having to engage in social niceties again can be very overwhelming. Especially because, like, most of my audience is neurodivergent. So, or at least the ones that write in. And I know that that's a challenge. Certainly one that I've been grappling with. Thinking about, this reminds me a lot of Afghanistan. Coming home from Afghanistan. I was in the National Guard, so a little difference between the National Guard and a regular soldier, someone who's in, like, you know, the 86... that was mine. Wow, I really sounded like Stolen Valor. What's the name of, like, the 82nd? Like, if you're in the 82nd and you're, you know, you get deployed to Iraq, you go from your base, wherever it is you are, I don't know, Benning or something, and you have your regular, you know, regular shifts and your regular day, and then they go, hey, you're going to Iraq, and you get ready, and you head over to Iraq with all the people in your unit, and then you do your mission there, and then you come home, but you go back to your, like, military base, and you still wear a uniform every day, and you still get up and do whatever, and you see all the same people, and while there's a huge transition between being on a military base in America and a military base in Afghanistan, you're still on a military base. And when you're in the National Guard, I went from being, like, a dude who worked on an ambulance to being in Afghanistan in an infantry unit as a medic. And then I came home and I didn't work for, like, a year and a half. So I just was, like, a guy. Just, like, a 22-year-old with a lot of trauma and like, a couple $1,000s just trying to figure out life. And they don't really teach you. You know, when I went to Afghanistan, they were pretty good about teaching me how to be a soldier. This is how you follow orders, and this is how you march in formation, and this is how you shoot a gun. And then before every mission, you'd have a mission brief where you'd talk about what you were going to do on the mission, how you'd respond to threats and changes in the mission parameters. And then you go home, and nobody gives you a brief on, like, how to be a human again, you know, just like, oh yeah, you gotta pay taxes and, you know, talk to pretty girls, and then that's it. Those are that's what my imagination tells me is life as a AMAB. You talk to pretty girls and you pay taxes. Am I wrong? There's probably more to that. I can't even, like, fathom what being a person is anymore. That's what I came up with. I'm like, I don't even pay taxes. So, yeah. I don't know. What else do you do? Laundry, I guess? What do humans do? Go to sporting events, I guess? Is that what we're all jonesing to go get back to? It's odd. I thought I'd be more excited for, like, movies, you know? I'm a big movie goer. I think that's obvious by the pod. But before COVID, that was like my, oh, I have nothing to do today. I'll just go see whatever movies in theaters. I saw movies that, like, nobody saw. Like, that Will Smith spy vehicle with Tom Holland where he, like, turns into a pigeon. I went and saw that in theaters because I was just bored. And now I'm like, oh, I could just watch whatever comes out. Like, I just saw Kong and Godzilla in my living room. And I'm like, oh, this is way more convenient. So I'm not even in, like, a rush to go out and see anything in the theaters. I'm really derailing myself. There's a, I'd like you guys to know, I don't know if you can hear it. There's a garage door under my apartment that opens and closes, like, every 30 seconds throughout the entire day. And it is perhaps one of the most frustrating things is to live above a garage door. I also have a thing in my wall. It sounds like the pipes are about to explode. So I, like, you know, I thought I'd be the due diligent land. What's leasee? The land, not the landlord. The land serf. I'm the land serf. I'm the apartment holder. God, I really need Gene here to, like, break up me talking. Anyway, the pipes in the wall, they're going crazy. I thought something like a pipe was going to explode. And they're, you know, I don't know if you saw my TikTok or my Instagram or whatever it was, but a guy came in and he, like, checked my toilets very frantically. And then he told me, he's like, you're safe. And I was like, safe from what? So I called and I was like, hey, the pipes, you know, intermittently are going crazy. And the guy calls me the other day at, like, 11 in the morning. He's like, can I come in? And I'm like, they're not going off right now. He's like, all right, well, call back and schedule a time for us to come. I was like, well, I can't schedule when the pipes in the wall are going to make a noise, my guy. So I guess I'm just going to move out and then they'll figure it out on their own. I tried. I hope like the day after I move out, the water main in the wall explodes and sprays water all over the place, and I can be like, "See, I fucking tried. I told you." I can hear it right now. There's like different levels of it. Sometimes it rattles a little bit like a heating pipe, but then sometimes it just like goes fucking like bang, bang, bang. Usually when I'm trying to sleep, because the universe is cruel. Like this morning when I tried to go to bed, there was like a jackhammer outside, and I. You know, that's pretty common in New York City. But then I, like, went around looking for it, and I cannot find where they were jackhammering. So either I've gone completely bonkers, and I'm just imagining the sounds of jackhammers at 8 in the morning, or somebody just had a jackhammer going, but, like, not in anything. Like, they didn't break up the concrete. They just, like, turned on a jackhammer for a little while. To spite me, I suppose. Anyway, when I got back from Afghanistan, I was in the National Guard. And we just went back to being people. And I remember being in Afghanistan. And we went to, like, a bigger base. Like, we left our base, which was very combat heavy. And we were on a bigger base. And we kind of had a chance to sit around for a few days. I remember I downloaded an N64 emulator. And was just sitting on a bed playing Conker's Bad Fur Day for, like, a week. We were in this gigantic, I don't really know if you'd know what this looks like. They were called, like, clamshell shelters or clamshell hangars. It's basically a hangar you can set up, but it's this gigantic cloth Muslim dome. Not Muslim. Muslin? What's the, jeez Louise. This would be the part of the show where Gene would derail me and say I'm racist because I said a word wrong. You know that fabric, like that tough fabric? It's that. It's like a tan color, and both sides of it can open up kind of like a clamshell, but you could, like, open up a side of it and then, like, drive a plane into it. But we didn't have planes in ours. They just put bunk beds, like, 4 feet apart from one another, so you could put, like, a couple thousand guys into this transient tent. And you'd come to Afghanistan, and you'd stay in the transient tent, and then you'd go out to, like, a bigger base. So we were staying there on our way home, and no power. There's no way to get power. So what we did was we daisy-chained, what are they called? Surge protectors. You know, the way you're not supposed to do? So we would have this chain of surge protectors that would, like, go under the beds. And then like, people would leave at all hours of the morning or during the day. So all of a sudden, your power would go out, and you'd be like, ah, fuck. And you'd have to, like, go down the daisy chain and figure out who left, because they probably took their surge protector with them, and it took out power to half the guys in the transient tent. Good times. Good times. So I remember I was playing Conker's Bad Fur Day, and they did a couple debriefs of, like, hey, you're going back to America. Sign these papers. And then we got back to Camp Atterbury in Indiana, and we were there for, like, 3 or 4 days, maybe a week. I don't really remember. I remember we gave our gear back, and we just sat around a lot and just kind of, like, waited to get to go home. We were glad because we were in America. That was kind of nice. I remember the vibe was kind of off. Like, we all kind of thought it was going to be like, hell yeah, we're back, baby. Life is amazing. And that wasn't really the case. And then I got home, and they were like, all right, welcome home. When we landed, they had some, like, fire trucks come out on the runway and, like, spray water on the plane. And then I remember distinctly it was one of those planes that you could, like, see the trajectory of the flight on the back of the thing on the seat rests. And the pilot came over the intercom, and he was like, hey, I'm so excited to get to be the one to bring you all home. And, you know, I was an Air Force pilot, yada, yada, yada. And he said, I'm gonna do you guys a favor, and I'm going to get you home early. We think we can shave, like, an hour off. And then he just, like, started booking. And I didn't know you could do that. I thought it was just sort of like you just, like, flew, you know? But he, like, shaved an hour off the flight. We went from, like, Indiana to Maine and then turned and went south. And I remember looking out the window and we were, like, passing other planes, which I didn't think you could do. And then, like, oh my God, he came in, like, it was like an air, like, we thought we were going to die. Like, he landed that plane like he was landing a combat landing. And we were looking out the window and, like, shit's whipping by and we're like, oh, maybe you... We love this energy, but maybe don't. Like, don't kill us in front of all of our families. But he didn't, you know, and we landed and they sprayed the water on us. And our families were all there and they came out and they were all excited. And we came down. They had us out on the runway. So they had the stairs, kind of like the president goes down. And we're all walking down, and there's people at the bottom of the landing, and they're all, like, shaking our hands. And I was just, like, fed up at that point. And so I was like, who the fuck are these people? I'm like, oh, that's the governor. And I laughed, because at that point, I'd been in war for a year, and I'd picked up a bit of an attitude. So as I got to the governor, and they shook my hand, I was like, oh, you're the one responsible for all this. And they kind of gave me a look, and I was like, thanks for the brain damage. And then my buddy ushered me along very quickly. Oh, good times. But then I got in a car with my parents, and we just started driving home. And that was it. And it was just like, yeah, you're a person now. Welcome back to America. And that's such, like, a jarring, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, you just went to war and everything's crazy and you saw people die and it was violent. You have PTSD, probably. But, like, yeah, you're just a person. You're just a 22-year-old. You know, get back to it. And I had no idea how. And it took me a long time to figure it out. I got home in October or November of 2010. I don't remember exactly when we touched down. And then I didn't start working again until, must have been like a year and a half later. You're allowed to take some time, like you're allowed to get unemployment from the war effort. And even though I had a job when I left, but I technically got fired while I was overseas, and then which you're not legally allowed to do, and like, but nobody knew that because the lady who fired me also got fired, so it was this whole snafu. And I just didn't want to go back to being a paramedic for a while, so I just, you know, collected unemployment, which was really stressful because there's like a lot of weird rules. You're like, you get home and they're like, listen, just take some unemployment, take some time, like this is what it's for. But then the unemployment office would call you and be like, if you're not looking for 3 jobs a week, we're gonna kick you off unemployment. But then there was another rule where if you were in college, you were allowed to collect unemployment. They were basically like, come home, go to college, we won't bother you. So I just did that. I just like was in college for a couple semesters. I don't even remember what I studied. I think that was when I was an English major. I don't know. I do remember that there was a day where I was driving my Subaru Baja, my bright yellow Subaru Baja with silver trim. I was driving it by the farm near my house, and I remember being very sad, and I couldn't really figure out why, because when I was on leave, things were pretty awesome. Like, I got home, and everybody was like, oh my god, you've been gone, we're gonna have parties, and I went on a bunch of dates, and like, a couple video games I was excited about had come out while I was gone, so I was playing those. It was just, like, wall-to-wall. Discord! I don't understand why Discord keeps beeping. I have everything muted, and it's just like, beep, 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 beep. It's like, shut up. I'm doing a podcast. I'm doing a solo. I'm like Bill Burr. I'm doing a solo podcast, breaking things down alone in my echoey room. Gosh, this is, I hope people download this because this is, I'm putting in the effort here. We've been talking for 22 minutes. So yeah, it was a weird experience. I went on leave in like July of 2010, so it wasn't that many months prior. And then I was just like, why am I sad? And then I was just like sad and in a weird place for several months, which might, you know, be an indication that that's going to happen again now. I mean, we all did just collectively experience quite the trauma together. 500,000 people are dead, and you know, we all largely had our lives changed. I made a video the other day on TikTok where I was just like kind of the same vein as this, but just didn't take me 23 minutes to get through it. And somebody came on and was like, I can't believe like people's lives have really been changed by this. Like, oh, so you can't go to the movies? Big deal. And I was like, I can't imagine not having your life changed by this. Like that to me is going to be a pretty staunch indicator of how much I want to interact with a person, is if they're like, yeah, the pandemic really didn't like change my life at all. Unless they were like already a shut-in and they're like, yeah, I don't really leave my house. And, I just kind of like the pandemic because it, you know, all of a sudden all the different DoorDashes were a little more efficient. Then I'd be like, okay, I guess that makes sense. But, like, if you just kept living the same life that you lived before the pandemic, during the pandemic, that you're the reason it kept going on that long. So, you know, I don't think that's very cool or something you should brag about on the internet. I had a couple other people kind of like be like, oh, you're such a bitch. Like, big deal. Just go back, you know, wear a mask and go back to your normal life. And it's, you know, I guess that's something I've encountered the whole time. A very frustrating attitude that I think stigmatizes mental health even more. Because a big part of my problem when I got home was sort of feeling like I shouldn't feel like this. Like, oh, I'm home and I'm, you know, I can do whatever I want and I'm young and I kept all my body parts. I should be grateful to be home and happy to be here, and things should be a little bit better. and they were not. And that dichotomy of me feeling how a thing should be and how it actually was very frustrating. And I feel like people are going to feel that now. I know talking to my therapist, other people are kind of echoing this feeling of like not knowing what to do and not knowing if they're ready to re-enter society and how to re-enter society or like what to even do when they get back into it. Like before I was... before the pandemic, I was like living at open mics. That was my whole thing. I would go, two or three open mics a day, sometimes four or six. And I would do shows whenever I had them. And I was just moving between shows and doing open mics. And, now that just seems like so foreign to me. The idea of just like collectively joining together in a basement to be sad together. I don't want to do it right now. Like I have both the fear of missing out because I know people are doing it and also no desire to do it whatsoever. Like I don't, it's a very odd feeling. I'm also becoming, largely, I don't know what the word would be. Trapped, oppressed by, I just loathe the four walls of my apartment. They feel so oppressive and they feel like each day they get a little bit smaller. But at the same time, I'm like terrified to leave them. I've grown so accustomed to this space and my less than routine where I wake up at a weird hour and I, you know, scream into a phone about social issues or whatever. And then I get mad that the numbers don't do what I want them to do. And I you know, rinse and repeat until it's such an hour where I can... play video games or watch a movie. That's been like every day for like the last 6 months. And then before that, the same thing, except instead of videos, it was tweets. So I don't, you know, it's a transition. It's going to be hard going back and being a person. I'm fully all vaxxed up now. I've got a week and a half, I think, before I'm all totes good to go. And that is too soon. I'm also, you know, looking for... I gotta find this new apartment, which my brain does not want to deal with. Every time I think about it, I start to panic, and then I think of something else, which is great. I hope that my ADHD... Usually, when a deadline starts to loom is when I'm able to do the thing. I'll just give myself anxiety right up until that moment. Hopefully that kicks in, because if it doesn't, I guess I'll be homeless, which is fun. Nice little ticking clock there. You know, narratively, I get it. Ticking clocks, they add a lot of tension. But on like a personal level, I don't love it. Not a fan. I wish it would stop. I don't feel like this was particularly... I feel like Gene is usually there to like give some sort of like, well, this is some advice that that's Gene's voice. This is some advice that you would give. And I'm just like, here are my complaints about life. Cause he's like he's the problem solver, and I'm the relatable, relatable to traumatize people one. But, like, maybe that, you know, I don't know if anyone has, like, a definitive answer of what to do post-pandemic. It's not like anyone I know has ever lived through one, and I can tell you that most of people's responses from, like, coming home from a war, which I think is a somewhat similar experience in some ways, as I have compared throughout my 30 minutes of talking. I didn't think I'd get this far, but I'm proud of myself. Could you imagine if I rambled for 3 hours? I bet I could. But it's an incomparable experience, a pandemic or just being taken away from your normal circumstances for a long time and being repeatedly exposed to trauma and then being put back into those normal circumstances. And we're sort of doing it as a society. And I feel like we don't know... I feel like we don't even have, like, a transition plan yet. Not from the government. I think the government's doing fine. But, like, societally, we had all, you know, all these ads, like, stay home, be safe, and wear a mask, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And now there's not, like, advertisements being like, all right, we're back, baby. Here's how to be a person again. Remember to hold doors and say thank you and smile because you're not wearing a mask. Well, I mean, we're all wearing masks, so I guess we don't have to smile at one another. Actually, if they ever made a commercial telling people to smile, I don't think that would go well. So, see, I don't even know. Even when I'm spitballing, I'm coming up with bad ideas. Could you imagine that? Like, it's like a McDonald's had like a smile campaign, didn't it? Maybe it's only if you tell specifically women to smile that it's problematic. Maybe they should make a campaign where they tell men to smile. Really turn it on its head. We've derailed ourselves again. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe nobody knows what the best solution is going forward. Maybe it's like a personal thing where we all have to just sort of feel it out and take baby steps. And, you know, like, I might go to a Target today and get some compression underwear. That's going to be my big trip out of the house. Not that I haven't been to a Target this entire year, but, you know, usually it was for stuff that I desperately needed. Now I'm like, well, I guess I could just, like, go to the store, you know? It doesn't have to be a whole thing. Maybe I'll go watch comedy. Maybe that's the best way to break back in. Anyway, I hope this has been something. Me and Gene wanted you guys to get a little content this week. Unfortunately, it's not going to be the 3-hour conversation about a movie, but you got to hear me ramble for 31 minutes and 37 seconds, and I'm going to do zero editing because I don't want to. And I can't focus on anything. I just found out yesterday that, like, okay, I know that this is, like, a thing that I'm already barking up the tree of, and I should know. I was talking to my therapist, and she was like, yeah, most psychiatrists don't take insurance. And I was like, that's insane. And she was like, well, the insurance doesn't reimburse, so they don't take it. And I was like, oh, that explains why no one can get mental health services in the United States. I have been dealing with, like, the VA and trying to get them that way. I never just tried out of pocket. And so that's insane. Our whole system is real goof test. Because I was like, well, maybe I need to get back on Adderall. You know, this whole year has been, I've kind of lost all of my, what would you call them? Coping mechanisms to work with my ADHD to, like, and whatever else to, like, get stuff done. And, like, all of that has been out the window. Like, I used to, like, journal every day, and I had, like, a little notebook I'd carry around and, like, a whole system involved. And now I haven't written, like, more than a page of a journal entry this year because I just can't focus for more than a few seconds at a time. I was like, well, maybe I'll get some Adderall. And I don't think I'll be able to get it through the VA because they're frustrating and the worst. But now, you know, I don't know if I have the money to pay out of pocket to go see a psychiatrist. It's a, what a frustrating country full of nonsense. But hey, maybe it'll get better. Maybe old Biden will keep doing things that I vaguely approve of. We can do it together. Yeah, this was good. Did you guys like this? Let me know. Cause we were thinking maybe we would do solo episodes more in the future on days. Cause, like, obviously as things, he lives in Philadelphia, I live in New York. And he's great about coming up every weekend and we record some episodes, but, you know, in the future, you know, one of us might be touring or have, you know, shows or something, and we might not be able to link up for a weekend, and maybe we'll throw out a solo episode here or there, just to keep things fresh and interesting. And, you know, as always, if you guys have suggestions or ideas of what you want us to do, let us know at the Patreon or the Twitter or the Instagram. We're War Porn Podcast everywhere. Come find us and come and join in the between episode conversations. We really appreciate you guys, especially the patrons. They're super helpful, and with all their donations, I'm gonna hopefully be able to find an apartment and not be homeless, because that'll definitely put a damper on the podcast. I don't know. I mean, there are definitely places in New York I could plug in a computer, but I feel like maintaining a computer microphone and podcast would be very difficult were I to be experiencing homelessness. I also think the motivation wouldn't be there. But maybe it would. I don't know. You know, I've never been that sort of homeless before. This is good. You're just rambling, talking to yourself. I mean, I am, I guess, sort of talking to myself. I'm really talking to the... I'm just watching the waveform of my voice. I don't know if that's a useful thing to do. I hope you guys can't hear. I've been like, I have this like thing in my hand. It's post-it notes, and I was doing that, and I fear now that that's been picked up on the mic. Well, if it has, oops. Anyway, you guys are delightful. I hope you enjoyed this 35-minute rant about transitions, and also secretly, was it about bunnies? You tell me. Anyway, you guys are the best, and keep on keeping on. We need a slogan, huh, Gene? You're not here. I've had to like clear my throat for a really long time now, but I didn't want to pause. Oh, way better. Could have waited like 10 more seconds. Anyway, bye.